from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners. The road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's going on here?
I'm confused as well. Good to be back with you, Joe.
You too. Although everybody said you looked like hell this morning. I didn't agree with them.
Was it Doran that said that?
It was your boss, Craig Riley.
I don't think Craig said anything.
Yes, he did. He agreed.
Doran and Crowley.
I'm glad that you're back. You're a wonderful man. You look all right to me.
I think you look great.
Yeah.
Or at least okay.
Yeah. I mean, you do look like you spent about a week in the woods, but you kind of
did.
Yeah, you did. That makes sense. What's happening with Ayuk? Why is Mark Cabali tweeting the word yeet? What does that mean?
Cabali likes to tweet yeet whenever something is about to go down or something is happening. I texted I have put out inquiries with him, and I have not heard back yet.
All right, I'm really going to get hot with him. And I realize he just lost his job, but you know what? When one door closes, another one opens. He's going to get a better job. He might go to the McAfee show. Who knows? He might wind up here. I don't know. He's going to wind up on his feet, I think, in a better space. He needs to be more of a personality. You know what I mean? Than just writing. And just to have him up on the McAfee show, even if he says nothing, he'll have said more than the one guy they have on there. Who is it? AJ Hawk?
Yeah. He just sits there in his attic.
What does he do? He's like a mannequin.
He sits there in the attic, smokes cigars, and occasional opinions are given.
He's like a mannequin in a department store window, City Limits. I've never seen anybody on any television show who's actually part of the show, even sidekicks like Ed McMahon from a long time ago, or, you know, who was the guy on Letterman? Paul, I can't remember his name. At least they talked once in a while, and in some cases were actually like part of the show, like you are, right?
AJ Hawk, you're a producer,
yeah, and you have a big personality on the show. AJ Hawk just sits there and stares at the camera to the point where they now use that to their advantage, like they know it's funny, right?
He's their number two guy.
Cabali would be unbelievable there because he's photogenic in some ways, right? I mean, he's a character is what I mean to say.
Yeah, you ever see that picture of Cabali staring off into blank space at the owner's meeting with Mike Tomlin?
He's a character. Get back to us, Cabali, now.
We know he's listening.
I know he's listening. He always is. And he wouldn't tell me what happened at the Athletic yesterday. Everybody else, I hate that. Everybody else around here knows. Oh, I'm not telling. I can't tell. Get out of here.
I have my own theories.
There is no theory. Something actually, it wasn't like anything, you know, what's the word? It wasn't anything horrible.
Which is why Mark
sort of work thing
should tell us so that we don't speculate.
Did he tell the PM guys on the show yesterday?
Not on the show.
Did you hear his interview?
I did.
Did they ask him?
They did.
What did he say?
He basically responded in a way to say that if this was 2 weeks ago, he would have been very surprised, but things that happened in the last week, week and a half, made this seem like it was a real possibility.
So cryptic. Yeah, I hate that too. So there's a bunch of people who know and a bunch of people who don't. Nobody's telling me.
And they asked him if he was going to go to Dino's to see Donnie and his show.
Yeah.
And he said that he did not want to go there. There was somebody there that he did not want to see.
In relation to what happened at the Athletic? See, now I think he's creating
creating
a drama around this the way Ben used to around injuries. He wants the attention now, Cabali, I think. But more importantly, why is he tweeting yeet? Well, what does yeet mean? Back to that. Do you have Cabali saying it was a joke? That's one of my favorites of all time. I like that one. Limits, can you please answer my basic question?
What does yeet mean?
For the fourth time, yes.
Yes, I'm sorry. Yeet in Cabali terms, which is also turned into morning show terms with Crowley and Doran, means that there is something coming up down the pipeline. There is something big that is happening.
Is he referring to this in personal terms with a job or in Brandon Ayuk terms?
Well, that's what is unclear by yeet. Yeet just means that there is something eventful that is happening. He didn't put an exclamation point or anything. So it either means that he's gotten a job, or maybe it means that there's a big Steeler move with Brandon Ayuk. Maybe it means he's on the McAfee show. It's cryptic, and it's why Mark needs to call in, or we will call Mark and answer these questions.
I don't know if it's Garofalo. I don't know what this guy's name is.
Mike Garofalo.
I like to call him Garofalo.
That's fine.
Like Jimmy Garoppolo. But he's on ESPN saying it's pretty clear the 49ers offer still isn't to Ayuk's liking. It feels like there's some momentum gathering this morning. Other people, who was it who said this could be done in a matter of seconds? Like, we're very clearly down to something happening either way. Michael Silver said 14 hours ago out in San Francisco, covers the 49ers, all things San Francisco sports, that there was optimism in San Francisco for keeping him. Now I have people today, or we have people today, saying obviously this wasn't to his liking, this latest offer, this latest round of talks. And if it's going to happen with the Steelers, it could happen. In other words, all John Lynch needs to do is call Omar Khan and say, we'll take it, and it's done. Okay? Which would take us all the way back to the Pony tweet of a week ago. Just dot a couple of I's. It's done. So I got a feeling something's going to happen either way today. City Limits. I just have, that's what my spidey sense tells me. Can you at least ask Cabali what yeet means, if it's personal or Ayuk? Forget it. I'm going to ask him. Go to the Paul pause for a second while I do this. Here's Cabali. What does yeet mean? You or Ayuk? That's what I just texted him. We've shortened. From a sports marketing perspective, we could actually use Dr. Dick.
Yes, we could.
Dr. Dick right about now.
For yeet.
From Duquesne. For yeet. Yeah, I mean, is that Cabali capitalizing on his name? I'm going to get real angry if he doesn't respond to this. I've been good to him over the years.
Did I stutter?
Hold on.
I heard that on my way up to Vermont.
Somebody just texted me a Mark Cabali. What the hell is going on here? They texted me a Cabali thing that I can't get into now that he tweeted. I'll tell you what, though. I'm going to be hot if this guy doesn't get back to me, because I've been very good to him for my whole life, and he owes me this. All I said was, what does yeet mean, you or Ayuk? And he should get back to me immediately on that, in my humble opinion.
He hasn't gotten back to me yet.
I'm just reading the interview. Well, you can go back. We're doing the Paul pause now, by the way, just the short version of it. City Limits. Went. There you go. No, just just the first part for when Paul is struggling to form a thought. Is that Cabali on the line? No, who is it? Why are you telling me 1 minute now?
No, I'm just trying to say, like, hold on a second. Somebody's trying to explain what yeet means to me.
Oh, okay. Please, go ahead. So I do have that feeling today that one way or another, I mean, how much longer can it go? Honestly, I suppose John Lynch and a lot of people felt like this from the beginning could really play the waiting game here. Wait to see what happens in Dallas. Wait to see what happens if somebody loses a star receiver and gets real desperate. You could do that. You could play the waiting game. But something tells me, you know how you get that vibe when things are heating up? Just reading all the reports from people who know stuff around the NFL and in both these markets. And I think one way or another that by the end of this day, we're either going to have a signing in San Fran or he's going to be a Steeler. I just have a feeling. That's no gut report here. So, Jackass Tony, if you're out there, you can't really hold me to that one.
Did I stutter?
It's just...
Got you, Joey!
Tony! Oh, is that great?
That was one of the better parts.
What was that like listening to live?
Yeah, as soon as you said, oh, we got a tough guy,
We got to clean up on aisle five, Paul.
I knew you were about to rip into this guy right away.
Yeah. He held his own, little Tony.
He did. I think he did well.
Jackass Tony.
When Jackass Tony called and he started laughing, and you know, when he said,
got you, Joey.
Tony!
I really thought that this was somebody calling in to prank.
Yeah, I had that idea.
Like, I thought it was somebody that we knew that was trying to get you.
Just for comic relief, do you have Pompiani's, the call he got from Pony when Pony pretended to be George from Washington with the wooden teeth? For no appropriate reason here. I just feel like Yeet is not about Kabali, says somebody else.
Hey, let's get right to it. George in Washington. First up tonight. Hey, George.
Bob, in 1923, Charlie Grimm had a 30-game hitting streak for the Pirates. Do you think that Brian Reynolds is going to break that record?
Well, the way he's swinging the bat now, yes, I expect that to continue, although it gets harder as the days go on.
Bob, I remember Charlie Grimm. He played with Pie Trainer. Hold on, let me put my wooden teeth in so you can understand me better. Bob, what are you doing taking George in Washington? It's Pony.
You know what? Even though I sort of invented that, Pony perfected it. That was the greatest call to Bob ever. I don't think there will ever be another one.
Yeah, the wooden teeth was the real cherry on top.
Bob had no idea that it was Pony, even up until and after the wooden teeth.
Because right? let me put in my wooden teeth. Okay, now, Bob's saying.
And then we had Dr. Dick. I still can't get over that one, too. The marketing professor from Duquesne. He couldn't say that fast enough, could he? He was great. I'd love to hear from him again. But yes, what we know of Aiyuk, first of all, we had Sean Don't Call Me Seth Meyers, who scours everything San Francisco every day because he's a Niners fan. And he said, I can't believe that this is going to come down to a $2 million difference. Like, I think that's what they were apart on annual salary with Aiyuk. But what Sean didn't take into account, which has also become a story, is that $28 million in Pittsburgh is a lot different than $28 million in California because of tax reasons, right? It's not even close. And the other fact of the matter is that the Patriots were willing to go over 30, like well over 30, and he didn't want to play for them. So in one sense, it's about the money, but it's not all about the money for Aiyuk. You know what I mean? Limits? Like he would apparently come here in 1 second for $28 million a year. He wants to play for Tomlin. He wants to play for the Steelers. But I think part of him also wants to stay in San Francisco, but not at their price and not at the same price as the Steelers because it's different money.
Oh, it's completely different money. When you're talking about California taxes, I mean, I don't know the exact number on it, but you're talking about probably a couple million that over the length of the contract, you're going to be losing out on just because of where you play and how outrageous California taxes are. Like, we think Pennsylvania taxes are bad. California taxes are completely outrageous and unlivable. We also have a Cabali update.
What happened now?
The texters are all saying that Mark Cabali is at the dentist, and he told Doran that he was at the dentist.
Okay, but I also got an update of Cabali replying to somebody saying, "No yeet for me, a different kind of yeet," which means there's big news not for him yet, but there's big news elsewhere.
And Cabali, we know what Cabali has done for the past 22 years.
What's that?
Cover the Steelers. I don't think he's talking about the Penguins trade of draft picks that they made today that make no sense.
What did they do again? Tell me again.
Yeah, so this trade was announced at 9:30. The Penguins and Blues made a trade where the Penguins acquire a 2026 second-round pick and a 2025 third-round pick in exchange for a 2025 second-round pick and a 2026 fifth-round pick. A trade that was made on August 13th in the middle of just dead time in hockey, and it doesn't make any sense to me as to why.
Jeremy Rutherford says the trade involving draft picks is to satisfy the required compensation for Edmonton should the Oilers decline to match the offers for Broberg / Holloway. I don't care.
I will say August 14th.
I don't care. Although I'm sure in media, Pittsburgh media circles, Kyle Dubas will somehow get tons of credit for this too, as he does for virtually everything he does. Maybe this is part of the big rebuild that's going on in Penguin country, if you believe some people. What are the Steelers doing in the meantime with Broderick Jones?
Before we get to that, we do have a yeet explanation from people that have texted in and called in, as well as wrestling aficionado Andrew Lindbergh, saying that yeet is from the Uso brothers in wrestling. Uh-huh. It's a wrestling term.
Okay. Well, that makes it less sensible. If I just know that it's Cabali saying something big is on the horizon, that's all I need to know.
Correct.
And it's not for him. Do you agree that he would be great on the McAfee show?
I think he'd be great on it. Fantastic.
Yeah. And he could do that and work elsewhere. Maybe even here. Would you like him here?
I would like him here. Yeah, Mark has become a good companion of mine. I would love for him to be able to work here with us. Where it would fit, I don't know. He was pitching the Pony, Mueller, and Cabali show.
It could be anything. He's a jackass of all trades. He could do anything. He could be on all of our shows. He could join this show. He could just be a Steelers insider the way Ed Bouchette was. Jackass there being a very complimentary term, of course. Unlike Jackass Tony. Do you think Jackass Tony is a regular listener?
Got you, Joey!
Tony!
I think he probably is, yes. But I love that you were like, oh, this is like his Super Bowl, his big day. He calls the radio station.
It is. Can we hear me calling Matt Cole as Ron from Cook's Forest? Which, you know, come on, Folsy. I mean, you know what has happened with Bob over all these months. And then I call you on a Saturday show. And he's a wonderful man, Matt Cole.
Ron in Cook's Forest wants to talk about Jared Jones. Hey, Ron.
Hey, Folsy, you know what they say. You can't make the club in the tub, Bob.
Come on. If you're producing that show, you're screening that call, aren't you?
I would think so.
But Ron from Cook's Forest?
What if it was a newer producer that did not know Ron?
It was Jolie.
Oh, then yeah, that's pretty bad.
Yeah.
I'm surprised, Joe, the two shows that I've done that you have not prank called in yet. I'm expecting it. Every time that I look at the call screener.
I was gonna. And of course, we'll never forget Fanny and, was it Fanny and Butler?
Yes.
I think that was a good
one for
Bob.
When you
broke the
got
rules.
It past me when I was producing.
That's right. How could you let in Fanny from Butler?
Because it was your wife on the phone.
I know, that was
And
cheating.
You tricked us.
Yeah. Fanny and Butler is joining us right now. What's up, Fanny?
Hey, Bob.
How are you?
So right here, I'm thinking, okay, just a regular caller.
Yeah, it's
hey,
Fanny.
Bob, it's Fanny from Butler.
Hey, Bob.
No. No, you can't do that.
Somehow I broke the rules on Bob there.
You broke your own rules to your own game.
I don't know what the rules are. You have to be aware of Fanny from Butler. What was the previous one? Alvin from Aliquippa?
Yeah.
Have a good day to the number one show on the fan.
Can never forget Caller Paul.
Yeah, Caller Paul was a legend. I'm not happy with Cabali, although if he's really at the dentist, I suppose I suppose this is okay.
I want winners, not sinners.
Maybe he's using the dentist as cover.
He might.
Have you received a response from Cavalli?
No. Which, again, if he's having dental work done, is perfectly understandable. I had a root canal last year from Fox Chapel Advanced Dental Care. And it was way less like torturous than I thought it would be. When I heard the word, I didn't know what a root canal was my whole life. Do you know what a root canal is? Explain it to me if you do.
I have never had one, thankfully.
Right.
I don't know what would happen
I thought like they opened, like they dug into your gums and whatever is connecting, like a branch through there.
To the canal of the roots.
Yeah, they have to go into the canal and remove a branch and like pull teeth. I didn't know what they did. It's a root canal. It sounded like a near-death experience. The near-death experience was what led to the root canal, which was me just sitting at home holding my head saying, I need help here. I can't do anything. But the actual process is he goes into the tooth very delicately and simply pulls out a little string, which is the nerve. It's a string removal kit is what it is, city limits. And then you don't have a nerve in your tooth, so the tooth is dead, which is the idea. It doesn't sound all that appealing to have a dead tooth, but
no.
When you're in that kind of pain, you want to kill it.
So you're saying that your teeth are alive, like right now, our teeth are all alive. I never thought of teeth as dead or alive.
Well, if they pull the nerve out, the tooth is
dead.
Well,
yeah. So it's the nerve that connects to the tooth.
It's the nerve that keeps the tooth alive.
Okay.
Yes. And the little string, I mean, it was sort of anticlimactic, like that's a nerve. That's all it is. That's what it is. It's a little piece of string.
My dentist is a big fan of the show.
Is he?
Yeah, Dr. Brody and
Dr.
Diane.
Brody.
Yeah, they're big fans of the show.
John Brody. Well, tell them I said hello. Maybe that's where I can't believe how many tweets I've now gotten that simply say Cavalli's at the dentist.
And the text line is all about Cavalli at the dentist. Everyone is very concerned about Mark.
This has become a major Pittsburgh sports story. He's a beloved figure.
He received 2 million impressions on his tweet.
Sometimes you don't know who's beloved and who's not. Like, who would have thought the last week of Ron Cook? Remember that? City Limits?
Oh, yeah. I mean, considering Joe Namath and Joe Green were the last callers and the phone lines were lit up of people that wanted to talk to him.
And I still get people, as I mentioned last week to you, just they'll see me somewhere and that's the first thing they want to talk about is he was beloved and so is Cavalli. So is the big boy. He's a lovable figure. He's like a big teddy bear, right?
How about Cavalli tweeted yesterday in a quote tweet of his announcing that he's a free agent. Thank you for the outpouring of support from everybody. You are the best. I'll be back sooner than you can say yeet. I'll promise you that. And then he said yeet this morning.
Right, but it was a different yeet. Different topic.
He did comment that on Twitter. No yeet for me, a different kind of yeet, which you were talking about earlier.
We've been over that, yes.
Yeah, the yeet clarification, which was needed.
Off the top, presented by JP Roofing and Siding, a rundown of what's happening on today's show. I mean, hopefully we'll be talking about a Brandon Ayuk trade, which if that happened in the next hour, or a Brandon Ayuk staying in San Fran, if that happens in the next hour, then Destiny's Child is going to be unceremoniously canceled.
Yeah,
right?
That's a throw the rundown out the window type of thing.
We'll still talk to Pirates manager Derek Shelton at noon. I can't imagine Shelty is in a very good space today. I imagine him in a dark hotel room like the last scene of Leaving Las Vegas. Do you remember that?
They have not won a game since 4 days before I left for Vermont.
It's unbelievable.
Baldwin Wiffle Ball has won more games than the Pirates have since last week.
Who's in Leaving Las Vegas?
I don't know. I've never seen it.
You should have seen it.
What about Coming to Las Vegas?
It's Nicolas Cage.
You ever see Coming to America? That's a good movie.
Shelty is now Nicolas Cage in the last scene of Leaving Las Vegas. He's alone in a dark hotel room pondering what to do with his bullpen. That's how I picture him.
He's got a cigarette in his mouth and poker chips just kind of flopping around on the table. What am I going to wager now?
That's how I picture him, with a big vat of like 1,000-proof bourbon, you know? It's just, what has happened? What has happened to them? Do you realize that right now, I was going to use this as a tease, but I won't now, that they have a shot at the number one overall pick again? They have the 10th worst record in baseball, with a chance, a very good chance, if they lose every game, to be the fifth worst in baseball, which gives you decent odds to get the number one pick. It's like a 10% chance, 8 to 10%, which isn't good news. It's horrible.
They are six games under 500. They were a 500 baseball team when I left.
Right, and now look, and you'll see only three teams in the National League have more losses than them.
Washington, Miami, Colorado.
And only seven teams in all of baseball have a worse record. Only seven.
The Angels, the A's, and the White Sox.
And others. Yeah, there's others that have worse. There's seven of them.
Toronto.
But the uncatchables are, of course, the White Sox. Nobody could ever catch them. The A's and a couple of other teams are uncatchable in terms of losses. Unless, again, you know, the Pirates right now seem capable of 20 losses in a row. And then everything really changes. But right now, they seem to have a decent chance to finish in the bottom six or seven, which gives you, you know, better odds for the number one pick than the Penguins had when they got Sidney Crosby. I'll tell you that much, City Limits.
They weren't the worst team in baseball when they got Paul Skeens. They were right there in the bottom three.
This is a disaster. I mean, it's an absolute disaster.
Nothing has changed, and there's no urgency from this team. There's no urgency for management, anything. They made the moves necessary at the deadline, whatever. They made some moves.
Then they benched the guy that they got. They brought in a guy to be their cleanup hitter, and he wasn't even good enough. He's unplayable, or he was.
I think we were a little bit blinded at the deadline by this. They got Brian De La Cruz, and they got Kiner Falefa, and they got Beeks. And I think Beeks has been okay. I like Kiner Falefa, but with Brian De La Cruz in the outfield being the main problem, I think we were satisfied at the time that they got somebody. They did make a move. But it was the quality of the move that was not there. When there were other guys like a Rosarena, like Jazz Chisholm. I saw this number that a buddy of mine sent to me on the ride back yesterday. And I'm going to read it. I'm going to read it to you.
Please do.
It was posted by Ryan on Twitter. Since the trade deadline, numbers as of yesterday, Jazz Chisholm is slashing .296, .345 with a .704 OPS, or .704, I think, slug, whatever, .183 OPS plus. Tommy Pham's hitting .300. Randy Arozarena is hitting .306 with a .172 OPS plus. Jesse Winker's hitting .286. Jorge Soler, .297. Brent Rooker, .273, .351, .576 last line with a .144 OPS. Brian De La Cruz, .118, .143, .118, no extra base hits, a negative .25 OPS plus.
He stinks.
Guys were traded, guys were moved, some guys weren't moved. Out of everyone, Brian De La Cruz is dead last, the worst.
No, it's to the point where when I look at next year, I'm not sure I want him back. Like you have to move on from him.
Well, what are you going to move on for him for? Like, what
I don't
purpose?
Know. That's what everybody keeps asking me. That's what Zeiss and Pomp were asking me yesterday about Key Brian Hayes. Well, what are you going to get for him? I don't know. I just don't want a guy who never gets an extra base hit in my lineup every day. Maybe nothing, which is what I'm getting from him.
And what you're getting from Connor Joe.
And what I'm getting from Brian De La Cruz. And what I'm getting from Michael A. Taylor. What I'm getting again now from Rowdy Tellez. And what I've gotten all season from Yasmani Grandal. The more I think about it, Charrington should be fired today. What was I even talking about yesterday?
And I feel like if you would clean house, the manager and the general manager, you're not announcing that you are rebuilding. You're announcing that you are completely resetting the organization because the overall philosophy of this organization needs to change.
There's just something, too, about Charrington's general presentation that smacks of, you know, a lawyerly, we know more than you guys do. It's sort of inside baseball, very literally. But we know what's happening here. There's a process that you might not understand, but we sure do. And it's all going to work out in the end. Brian De La Cruz, Michael A. Taylor, Connor Joe, Henry Davis, Rowdy Tellez, Yasmani Grandal. Would you like me to keep going here, Limits?
I would, but we also have a Cabali update on Twitter.
What now?
Cabali just tweeted at us. Great content at Joe Starkey, at Austin Bechtold, at 93.7 The Fan, with a screenshot of me texting Cabali, Joe wants you to come on, and Cabali responding, this is great. I'm going to ignore him just to piss him off.
Exactly.
In a screenshot. And Cabali spelled my last name wrong in his contact.
See, Well, he knows me. That's the thing. He knows me from way back. So he is going to ignore me. All right. And he's not going to follow up on his little yeet tweet.
Yeet.
So I guess we'll just have to see how this plays out. The one report that stood out with Ayuk today was all it would take is 2 seconds if John Lynch gave the go-ahead, and that's it. Kevin Adams. Who is Kevin Adams? He was a
Grizzly
hockey,
Adams?
He was a hockey player. He is co-host of Barstool Sports at Steel Here podcast, okay? He's got 65,000 followers. He puts out the video of the ESPN panel with Ian Rappaport and the bald guy that I don't know who's either Garofalo.
Mike Garofalo.
Who's the other guy who's like Mike Garofalo? He seems to be similar
to him. Tom Pelissero.
No, Graziano. I don't know who the hell it is. But he's saying it's pretty clear the 49ers offer still isn't to Ayuk's liking. Then Kevin Adams adds, the waiting game continues, but it feels like the Steelers are really, really close to pulling it off. Things like that. That's what I'm seeing here. What are they doing with Broderick Jones? Well, what are they doing? I'm going to ask that question next. We're going to try to get a hold of Kabali. We're going to have the Pirates manager on. Unless something happens Steeler-wise, we're going to have Destiny's Child live from San Diego. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. First-time listeners, that doesn't mean we're actually having Destiny's Child on, but Andrew Destin from the Post-Gazette. Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. Text Line, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Before we depart here very briefly, the part of the pony call to Bob that got me was Pony's impeccable sort of demeanor and accent of tone of an elderly man. So I want to hear that call again in a moment. Our Steelers and Pirates camp reaction brought to you by Bet365. Of course, it's the Steeler camp reaction and the Pirate reaction in general. Before I get to a JP Roofing, can we hear that call just one more time? Pony posing as an old man with Bob. I mean, this goes down, I think, as a top 10 moment in fan history, and that's saying something.
Hey, let's get right to it. George in Washington, first up tonight. Hey, George.
Bob, in 1923, Charlie Grimm had a 30-game hitting streak for the Pirates. Do you think that Brian Reynolds is going to break that record?
Well, the way he's swinging the bat now, yes, I expect that to continue, although it gets harder as the days go on.
Bob, I remember Charlie Grimm. He played with Pie Trainer. Hold on. Let me put my wooden teeth in so you can understand me better. Bob, what are you doing taking George in Washington? It's Pony.
How are you
falling for this again?
That was remarkable stuff. In some way, shape, or form, I think I want to play that every day as long as I'm on the air here at some point. Could we whip up like a conclusion to the show that includes that limit? Is that possible?
What would we put in the best conglomeration of drops in the show? Probably that with Pony. Would Dirtbag Dan make the list?
What was that in reference?
Doc in Claysville was trying to rip on Dan Zangrilli for something he said in the postgame show and said.
All of that. But you know what? We'll switch it. Well, that, of course. Yeah. Ron tweeted me a picture of himself or texted me and said I'm down 21 pounds.
Wow.
It's unbelievable.
Good for Ron. How is he doing? Have you spoken to Ron?
He looks great. I mean, he looks like Brandon Sutter. He looks like he weighs 130 pounds.
Or Marquise Pouncey.
Yeah.
I reached out to Ron and sent him a text, do you think he would know who it is?
No, absolutely not. Unless you said I'm City Limits. But if you said your actual name... And even if you did, he wouldn't respond. Thank you, Limits. We'll get to what are the Steelers doing with Broderick Jones. I have absolutely no idea. And
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
But they still plan to start Fatanu in the season opener at right tackle. But in the meantime, even though he didn't play well the other night, which wasn't a big deal, but he's also hurt for the next 2 weeks. So in the meantime, you have Broderick Jones still out of position at right tackle, with apparently the plan to suddenly move Broderick Jones to left tackle before the season opener if he can beat out the great Dan Moore and if Fatanu is ready to play. Boy, that sounds like a great plan, right? Presented to you by the same organization that has been mangling offensive line situations for multiple years now. I don't think you need examples from me. But I'll give them to you anyway. They drafted a undersized guard from Illinois who didn't want to play center and started him as a center in front of 39-year-old Ben Roethlisberger. They sunk money into Chukwuma Okorafor, for God's sakes. They also experimented with him at left tackle one off season, if you remember that, and wasted a bunch of time. Then they put money into him, and then it turned out he didn't want to play either. So that's two for two. What else? Kevin Dotson, who the instant he left campus here became a star, meaning they didn't either didn't develop him right or didn't have him at the right position. Something they did something dramatically wrong with Kevin Dotson, but now they're going to be geniuses with these young offensive tackles. Here's my question. First of all, what are you doing with Broderick Jones? Why are you putting him at a disadvantage here by having him work on the right side for most of the offseason, apparently with plans, again, to suddenly move him back to his natural position of the left side right before the opener? How is that fair to him? But the most incredible line of all from Dulac's story was this. Okay, Fatanu goes in at right tackle for the season opener despite everything. Okay, fine. I quote here, that will leave Broderick Jones, last year's number one pick, to battle incumbent Dan Moore Jr. for the starting left tackle position. What? To battle Dan Moore? Who has a high opinion of Dan Moore other than the Steelers? And I just read you about all the Steelers' latest offensive line decisions, didn't I? Dan Moore? I think it was Pro Football Network had him ranked the 37th best offensive tackle in the league, which would be great if there were 100 teams in the league. Every single piece of available evidence out there tells you that Dan Moore is not good. Why in the world would you have Broderick Jones competing with him? Now, lower in the story, lower than that, it says it seems highly unlikely the Steelers would put Jones back on the bench. Well, thank God for that. But already in the story was the line he would battle Dan Moore Jr. And also, and these are I'm sure are based on people telling Jerry this these kinds of things. They probably believe it over there. Here's another incredible one. Moore, a fourth round pick in 2020, has been the starting left tackle since game one of his rookie year. I would add, out of complete desperation. But he is an unrestricted free agent after the season and should attract a hefty offer from another team as a four-year starter. A hefty offer to do what? A hefty offer in free agency? Could it be that only the Steelers think he's any good? And but here's the real point then. Okay, I'll take all of this as fact and knowledge and everything else and sources and whatever. If Dan Moore is so damn good, then why do you keep drafting tackles? Just sign the great Dan Moore to a hefty new contract and worry about some other position in the draft. Have I lost my mind here, City Limits?
I don't think so.
If Dan Moore is so good, then keep him. Sign him. Make him a high-paid tackle. And by the way, it's Dan Moore's complete inability to play the right side. He showed himself to be wholly incapable of that. That is helping to cause these musical chairs. He can't play the right side. But I guess he's going to get a hefty contract in free agency because everybody thinks he's so good, except everybody apparently who observes football and is paid to render an opinion.
Yeah, I don't believe that. I think maybe it's just the Steelers trying to make Dan Moore look good so when he ultimately gets benched and moves on, then hopefully somebody will pick him up and pay him a decent amount.
Who cares that he's a four-year starter? That was born of complete desperation because they had mangled their own offensive line, haven't gotten anybody better than him, and now they do have somebody who could be infinitely better than him, and he has to battle Dan Moore?
Kendra Green what? Was a day one starter as a rookie. Does that mean, as a two-year starter, that he's somebody that is qualified to start on someone else's offensive line?
I don't understand. Is my mic hot right now, or is that in my own ears?
I think that's in your own ears.
Okay. I don't understand any of this. The bottom line, too, is that they're putting Broderick Jones at a massive disadvantage. It's great that he can play the right side, but every single offensive lineman that we've had on this show has said that going from the left to the right and the right to the left is not as easy as you would think. It's like learning. I forget the example that guy used. What was the example? But it's like a new language. That's what he said. And it was stink. It was Mark Schlereth. Like, it's not that easy. And if you want Broderick Jones to succeed at left tackle, which is where Omar Khan said he will eventually play, which is why you drafted him to play that position, then let him play there in the offseason. Let him train there in the offseason. Give him every ability to succeed. Instead of working him out most of the time at right tackle, and then at the last second before the Arthur Smith Bowl to open the season against the Falcons, throwing him back on the other side. What are you doing to the guy? Seriously, what are they doing? It would also be an option, considering that Jones looked somewhat at home at right tackle last year. He actually did, I thought, a good job. He had his ups and downs, no doubt. Okay, then option B for me would be leave him there and have Fatanu play left tackle where he's played his whole career. Of course, he would have to beat out the great Dan Moore, who's looking at a hefty contract in the offseason to do that. I get that. But that would make more sense. Anything would make more sense than starting Dan Moore to start the season. And anything would make less sense than putting Broderick Jones at his natural position. That's option one, the obvious option. Why don't they do the obvious? Now, who would play right tackle if Fatanu's not ready to go since Dan Moore can't? I don't know. They got a couple candidates, Spencer Anderson, somebody else. But it's unfair to Broderick Jones, and it's just not smart. And I feel very comfortable saying that based on multiple offensive line decisions the Steelers have made in the past 3 to 4 years, even if some of the people who help make those decisions aren't here anymore. I feel very comfortable saying that. What the hell are they doing? All right. Destiny's Child. Are you keeping tabs on the Ayuk situation here?
I am. I'm monitoring everything as it comes down the pipeline, if it comes down the pipeline.
I'll tell you what, Kabali really has me hot right now.
He's responded to me again and said yeet.
Yeah, all he gave me at 10:11, I said, what does yeet mean, you or Ayuk? Then I said again, what does yeet mean in this instance? You know what he responded to me? Hi, Joe. I'm going to walk down the hall and tell our boss things about Kabali that will make him not hire him. And I'm going to call McAfee and do the same.
McAfee's phone number?
How does Kabali like that?
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.